Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. So we're going to give you some sports talk, a lot of weather talk, certainly. Tropical Storm Francine out in the Gulf. We've seen a little bit of a shift, certainly, overnight. Not unexpected, a little bit more toward the east, more and more. I live in the Bayou country, so, man, my cell phone was going off about warnings all morning long. So, while remember early on, it was maybe a Lake Charles hit, then it was a Lafayette. I got a feeling that this has shifted, and some of the projected tracks are showing it much more toward St. Mary Terrebonne. And the more east that it goes, the more it's going to be effect in the New Orleans area, Metairie, Kenner, Bayou region, River Parish, out in Plaquemines, certainly on the North Shore and in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, where we have so many people that listen to us here on the Big 870 WWL. Keep your dial tuned in to the Big 870 WWL. We'll give you full coverage, and we'll have all-day coverage tomorrow on Tropical Storm Francine. We just had the 4 o'clock update, and it is still a tropical storm. It is expected to become a Category 1 storm. And living here all my life and living on the bayou all my life, you know, if you're living in those low-lying areas that has a tendency to flood, or if you don't feel safe, you know what you got to do. You've been through the routine, and you got to sort of leave. And fortunately, from everything we've been hearing, this is a fast-moving storm. It's not, the size or the strength or the slowness of Ida, because that was the worst part of it. You getting these unbelievable winds out of it. Near my home, it was 125, 130 on the bayou, and just slow-moving. With Francine seems to be a much faster moving storm from what they're projecting, and hopefully by tomorrow night late it'll be clear. And but we'll give you all that coverage here. Want to tell everybody it's Tulane Tuesday, and so Tulane head coach John Summerall will join us at 4:20. At 4:35, Alexander Cranford from WWL, who's a meteorologist there for WWL Louisiana Channel 4 in New Orleans, will be with us. And at 5:35, Tim Temple from Louisiana Insurance Commissioner will also be here, and basically telling us what you have to do either before Francine rolls in and what happens afterwards. So we'll have Alexander, Tim Temple, and also Keith Hinckley, president of Plaquemines Parish. Sort of know the feeling living in Lafourche and Plaquemines. That's not too far away. And at 6:35, my parish president out in Lafourche, Archie Chasson, will join Steve Geller and Charlie at 6:35. So, again, we'll mix in some sports talk. We'll have Mark Slareth at 5:20, John Summerall at 4:20. And so, Charlie, it's one of those kind of crazy days, and mixing a little bit of sports along with certainly the weather conditions, which will worsen throughout the night, and then tomorrow we'll get the worst part of it, in a projected landfall somewhere in South Louisiana in between 12 noon and 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and we'll keep you updated throughout the whole process. So, as you mentioned, we'll have a little bit of both. It'll be the Sports Talk show, regular Sports Talk Tuesday with all our, you know, regular guests like Summerall and Schlereth, but also a lot of information coming in about this storm as well.
Yeah, and for many people who have been here through all of these, and we've been fortunate now that post-Ida, Charlie, this is the first one. So I think a lot of people kind of, you remember the last thing that happened. Bad-wise weather conditions. So this is not Ida by any stretch of the imagination, strength-wise, and it seems to be a much faster moving, even though it's really not moving much now. All projections are it will move pretty quickly once it gets on shore. And how much strength it has, still to be determined. I know the Weather Service is saying possibly a Category 2, but it really has not strengthened that much. But we're living in the phenomena era, that we've seen these storms sort of blow up as they get near the coast. Again, it's a changing cycle of weather that we live in throughout the last 10 to 12 years, but that is something that has happened. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870, and it'll be our Tulane Tuesday, and John Summerall, the Tulane football head coach, will be on with us to talk to Green Wave, and man, what a heartbreaker to lose to Kansas State. We'll talk to Coach Summerall right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. The head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, Coach, and man, we do an LSU coverage, okay, I'm going to be honest, Saturday afternoon. Herb Tyler and I in Baton Rouge, and we watching the game at the end. And I'm like, oh, goodness. You know what it reminded me of? An interview I saw with Tom Landry years ago that they had done with him. And, man, Tom was one of the all-time great NFL coaches. And somebody brought up to him, what's the one thing you and an official, and he said, I didn't really have a lot of talk with officials when I was coaching. I was always sort of concentrating on what the next deal was. And he said, one time I complained to one of them about a call, and he said, Coach, if you know, coach long enough, the calls equal out. And Coach Landry was, yeah, but look how long I had to coach fit to equal out. You know, they don't tell you you can get fired in between that time of you wanting to get it equal out. But it is part of the game. And, man, it's sometimes it's the mental thing of getting over that and turning the page because you can't do anything about it now.
That's right. You know, we had plenty of opportunities to change the outcome of the game last Saturday, regardless of the officiating. And was there a couple things that went on that I didn't agree with? Yeah, but that doesn't matter. And we had plenty of ways we could have won a game without having to even worry about that. And our guys recognized that. We showed them clips yesterday of really some missed opportunities we had that we could have played a whole lot better football. And having said that, even though we can still improve a ton, we're right in the middle of a game with an opportunity to win against a top 25 team. So there's some positives, there's some negatives. It's not okay to lose. Like I told our guys, anybody that tells you it's okay to lose, they're a loser. All right, and get away from them. Yeah. And so, like, I'm not happy with – there are no moral victories in our program. But we got to bounce back, and the message with our guys has been keep showing up. Like, if we had won the game – it wouldn't define our season. We lost the game. It's not going to define our season. We have to respond, and our response will say more about us than anything.
Again, I'm so impressed, and I told you this last week, and I'll say it again, Darian Mensah. I mean, for a guy that had never taken a snap in a college game, just how poised he is. And, okay, there are going to be mistakes made. You got veteran guys that make mistakes. Look at this young man as a redshirt freshman and how poised he is out on the field. Coach, you got yourself something really special in this young man, and he seems to be so well-grounded in life. And I think that's the most impressive thing about him.
He's a fantastic guy. He grew up in California. He's got a really hard-working mom. I think he's got a great appreciation for everything that he has, and he's a really hardworking kid. He's put a lot into his craft. And, you know, I think I was probably more nervous about him starting than he was the last couple games. You know, I mean, I think as the head coach, you're like, all right, I'm rolling out a kid who's never played a college game to start and lead a big league ball club. And he's handled it so well. He's a great teammate. He encourages other guys around him. He loves to see other people's success. And on top of it, he's a really damn good football player. You know,
you're right.
And you throw for, you know, you play in a team that's a top 25 team in your second career starting to throw for 342 yards. That's pretty impressive stuff. And I'm excited about his future. He's a really talented kid, and he's got great pocket awareness, and he's just always comfortable and calm, and makes a lot of good decisions. There's a couple plays he'd like to have back from last week, and I think he'll learn from those situations and get better from them.
I had a former NFL quarterback coach live next to me. He just passed away 2 years ago, but he was like, "Mike, those great quarterbacks make me look a lot smarter."
There ain't no doubt.
Where you build around that and offensive defensive line.
Yeah, no doubt. You got a guy that back there, a quarterback that knows how to play the game and understands how to lead. Man, you got a shot, and we're very fortunate right now to have Darian leading our charge.
Coach, I go back to this. Herb Tyler and I were talking about this Saturday, almost like what you said to us last Tuesday, in the fact that Kansas State plays a certain brand of football. I mean, it's not flashy. They want to run it at you. They play power football. And if you make a mistake, they make you pay the price, okay? And every once in a while, they'll throw one up there for a big play. But there's a certain way they play. They're exactly what you described last Tuesday, that they're going to hang in there. They're not going to beat themselves, and they're looking for a mistake you make and can turn that into points.
That's it. That's exactly what their identity has been. And Chris Klieman, their head coach, I got a lot of respect for. He's been great to me. I've gotten to know him the last couple of years. And his teams always play physical. They're always tough. They always run the football well. They always stop the run, you know, and they've had a lot of success. And they are very, very accustomed to winning close games. And they like to just kind of battle you down and wear you down in the fourth quarter and wait for you to do something that screws the game up a lot of the time. And unfortunately, we had a couple of mistakes that it cost us. And like I said, I think we'll learn from it. But I got a lot of respect for that team we just played, and I think they're really well coached, and they got good kids who play the game incredibly hard.
Coach, I know you said no moral victories, and I can understand that absolutely 100%, but Mekhi Hughes had a great performance against K-State, and you talked about that great run defense that the Wildcats kind of feature. Talk a little bit about the rushing attack from Tulane and that performance, and why it kind of has you optimistic for the rest of the season.
Coach, you had them on their heels for a little while, though.
Mekhi had a great game.
Yeah, you had them on their heels.
It wasn't just rushing. Yeah. It was also in the passing game as well. He was used very efficiently, and he had a great performance against a really good run D.
Yeah, you know, playing a run defense like that, you have to live with some 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yard gains, and all of a sudden you pop a 30 yard run or whatever it may be. And really, he had one in the fourth quarter before when the game's tied 27-27. That if we make a couple of blocks in the perimeter, it's probably going to be a touchdown before we have the turnover. And so, Mekhi played really good. He's very consistent, very steady in his preparation. It was great to see him catch the ball in the backfield. One of the plays he had, his longest pass catch of the game was really just sort of a check down where Mincy extended the play, stepped up, and Mekhi was left uncovered. He dumped it to him, and Mekhi took off down the visiting sideline. And you know, guys that work really hard, it's amazing how they play really well usually. And Mekhi is one of those guys that, man, he just shows up and works incredibly hard every day. And he's so consistent, so steady, that you know, good things happen to him because he prepares properly. And so, had a big day Saturday. It was nice to see him kind of bust open a couple runs. And he's the kind of runner. I think he got 21 carries last week. That's where he really starts to hit his stride. Is the more carries he gets, the better.
Coach, you got to flip the script. Nobody's going to bring you the mop. I mean, you got to turn the page. And now you play a totally different opponent in Oklahoma. Their strength has certainly been to throw the football. We all know with Lincoln Riley, but even Coach Venables, who's a defensive-minded coach, but that's their bread and butter, too. That hasn't really changed. They know how to recruit quarterbacks, and the pitch-and-catch game, there are a lot of them out there. Strength and weaknesses of Oklahoma as you play them this coming Saturday, because that team's going to wing it. Because they use a lot of times the short pass, almost like an extended handoff, to be honest with you. But you know, they spread the field out. They want to hit a small catch and turn it into a big play.
Yeah, they're explosive offensively. They got great receivers, a really big athletic offensive line, a quarterback. He's a young player, but he's a very highly recruited kid, a talented kid. He got good backs. They scored 51 points in their opening game. Didn't score as many last week, kind of stalled out on some drives, but they've got explosiveness offensively. And then when you look at defensively, they've given up 15 points so far in two games against two FBS opponents. So they're really stingy defensively. The strength of their defense is their interior D-line and their linebackers. And they're a quality team. You turn the tape on, you know, probably a little more multiple than what we saw with Kansas State defensively, and probably a little bit faster pace of play and wanting to throw the ball a little bit more than Kansas State maybe. They'll still run it, but they like throwing a little bit more. And they got playmakers everywhere. They got good football players. And, you know, they're one of the winningest programs in the history of college football. That didn't happen by having average players. They got great players. And so it's going to be a tremendous challenge. It's a tremendous opportunity, you know, and it's our first road test. And you talk a lot about our quarterback being young and all that. He's played two home games, and so now he's going to go on the road and deal with a hostile environment. So welcome to your first road game. Go to Oklahoma.
Yeah, you click the heels. You're not in Kansas anymore. But I think one of the things when you play a team like that, you got to tackle well. Man, because you don't want to give up the big play. Okay, you give up that small stuff, but you don't want to turn a 4-yard play into a 44-yard play.
Technically sound, Coach.
No, you're exactly right. You got to tackle the ball carrier, and we got to leverage the ball, and we got to gang tackle the ball carrier, because they may make one guy miss, but you got to show up and gang tackle.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a hectic day for you, and we appreciate it. Best of luck to you as you go up against the Oklahoma Sooners.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Roll wave.
All righty. Thank you, Coach. That was Tulane head football coach John Sumrall. Tulane Choose Z was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We come back, we'll have on with us Alexander Cranford from WWL Louisiana, meteorologist. Actually, Alexander was supposed to be off, but they called her back because she got to come out of the bullpen. But Alexander will join us here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTillia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have on with us Chris Franklin from WWL Louisiana, meteorologist there. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Chris, I was going to tell you this in a joking manner, but this is why they pay you all them big dollars for days like today. And, man, we've been through it, you know, living on the bayou all my life. Man, you sort of get used to it. And then this is the first storm since Ida. And a lot of people kind of in the back of their minds, this isn't Ida. But, again, I think every storm has – they write their own chapter on the path. I look at how this storm is coming in, and this, first of all, looked like a Lake Charles. Did it look like a Lafayette? Now, man, it's getting much closer to me in Lafourche. This looks to be much more of a St. Mary Terrebonne entrance than any way else, and maybe a little bit even more of a shift east. But this right now looks to be more of a, say, a Morgan City Houma kind of entry.
Right, that's the way the models have been playing out, at least today. We'll see if that continues tonight and early tomorrow. But really, the window of opportunity for any other dramatic shifts and even further strengthening are closing, because I think the storm is going to be inland likely within 24 hours. So any further strengthening, any other changes in the track really are not going to have much more time to do that. Not to say that the track is really locked on right now, but as you said, we're kind of looking at that Terrebonne Bay kind of between Morgan City and Houma for a landfall, which also puts the strongest winds. I don't think this is going to be a very large wind field, but it does put those strongest winds kind of in that corridor up towards, say, maybe just to the east of Baton Rouge. That's going to be where you see the heaviest of the rainfall. That's going to be where you see the strongest winds throughout the day, probably by starting the afternoon and into the evening on Wednesday.
Chris, any movement more toward the east and the shift as they're projecting, that means more weather, Bayou, River Parish, Plaquemine, St. Bernard, North Shore, also in the New Orleans Metairie-Kenner area.
Right,
because the more and more that shift is east, you're going to get more weather if you're in the northeast quadrant of that storm.
Right, and you're going to have more of a risk that we've been trying to talk about. We haven't really highlighted it too much, only because there's been so much uncertainty, but that's also where you get that window for tornadoes. Not that they're going to be a huge issue, but that's certainly where you get that risk of those short-lived kind of quick spin-up. They kind of lift back into the storm. They don't usually do a ton of damage, but certainly these even EF0, EF1 tornadoes will be present in kind of that northeastern quadrant, like you said, and any more of a shift to the east puts that risk even greater over more of southeast Louisiana, and then maybe even moving in the direction of coastal and southern Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for most people, you know, the wind, and if you're living in a structure that's maybe been damaged for Ida that hasn't been completely completed, if you feel uneasy, you know, in a trail or anything else, you understand that you have to move. But I think the biggest risk here is would be the flooding part because of the fact it's pushed all that water. Chris, the craziest right. thing I ever saw was for Hurricane Rita, I have never seen so much water pushed up into bayous and canals in Lafourche. That thing hit in, what, Lake Charles?
Yeah, you're
but,
right.
But it was a big storm, and it kept out there for a couple days, and it pushed it at landfall really heavy in the Lafourche-Terrebonne area. With the tidal surge for this, would it be somewhere between, like, 5 to 8 feet in
five
where it's going
to
come in?
At the moment, we're kind of looking at everything for more east, or more west of Port Fouchon and Cocodrie, so more of Terrebonne Bay toward Vermilion Bay. We're looking at the potential of 5 to 10, and I think that 10 is kind of at the high-end threat from the Hurricane Center. They're usually going to give you kind of the worst-case scenario, so we're looking at, I'd say, an average 5 to 8 at the extreme 10 feet. Anything more to the east, we're probably looking, you know, more towards, say, Grand Isle and toward Lower Plaquemines. We're probably right now looking at 4 to 7. And again, those are on the higher numbers. Now, those numbers could change if we see a little bit of an adjustment toward the east or even toward the west. Even a little bit of a jog back toward the west is still not out of the realm of possibilities. One thing that has kind of confounded me and something that our anchors had pointed out was the fact that usually you kind of see a little bit more consensus with the
spaghetti. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us Chris Franklin from WWL Louisiana, meteorologist there. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Chris, I was going to tell you this in a joking manner, but this is why they pay you all them big dollars for days like today. And man, we've been through it, you know, living on the bayou all my life. Man, you sort of get used to it. And then this is the first storm since Ida. And a lot of people kind of in the back of their minds, this isn't Ida. But again, I think every storm has, they write their own chapter on the path. I look at how this storm is coming in. And this, first of all, looked like a Lake Charles. Did it look like a Lafayette? Now, man, it's getting much closer to me in Lafourche. This looks to be much more of a St. Mary Terrebonne entrance than any way else, and maybe a little bit even more of a shift east. But this right now looks to be more of a, say, a Morgan City-Houma kind of entry.
Right, that's the way the models have been playing out, at least today. We'll see if that continues tonight and early tomorrow. But really, the window of opportunity for any other dramatic shifts and even further strengthening are closing, because I think the storm is going to be inland likely within 24 hours. So any further strengthening, any other changes in the track really are not going to have much more time to do that. Not to say that the track is really locked on right now, but as you said, we're kind of looking at that Terrebonne Bay kind of between Morgan City and Houma for a landfall, which also puts the strongest winds. I don't think this is going to be a very large wind field, but it does put those strongest winds kind of in that corridor up towards, say, maybe just to the east of Baton Rouge. That's going to be where you see the heaviest of the rainfall. That's going to be where you see the strongest winds throughout the day, probably by starting the afternoon and into the evening on Wednesday.
Chris, any movement more toward the east and the shift as they're projecting, that means more weather, Bayou, River Parish, Plaquemine, St. Bernard, North Shore, also in the New Orleans Metairie Kenner area.
Right,
because the more and more that shift is east, you're going to get more weather if you're in the northeast quadrant of that storm.
Right, and you're going to have more of a risk that we've been trying to talk about. We haven't really highlighted it too much, only because there's been so much uncertainty, but that's also where you get that window for tornadoes. Not that they're going to be a huge issue, but that's certainly where you get that risk of those short-lived kind of quick spin up. They kind of lift back into the storm. They don't usually do a ton of damage, but certainly these even EF0, EF1 tornadoes will be present in kind of that northeastern quadrant, like you said, and any more of a shift to the east puts that risk even greater over more of southeast Louisiana, and then maybe even moving in the direction of coastal and southern Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for most people, you know, the wind, and if you're living in a structure that's maybe been damaged for Ida that hasn't been completely completed, if you feel uneasy, you know, in a trail or anything else, you understand that you have to move. But I think the biggest risk here is would be the flooding part because of the fact it's pushed all that water. Chris, the craziest right. thing I ever saw was for Hurricane Rita, I have never seen so much water pushed up in the bayous and canals in Lafourche. That thing hit in, what, Lake Charles?
Yeah, you're
but,
right.
But it was a big storm, and it kept out there for a couple days, and it pushed it at landfall really heavy in the Lafourche-Terrebonne area. With the tidal surge for this, would it be somewhere between, like, 5 to 8 feet in
five
where it's going
to
come in?
At the moment, we're kind of looking at everything for more east, or more west of Port Fouchon and Cocodrie, so more of Terrebonne Bay toward Vermilion Bay. We're looking at the potential of 5 to 10, and I think that 10 is kind of at the high end threat from the Hurricane Center. They're usually going to give you kind of the worst case scenario. So we're looking at, I'd say, an average 5 to 8 at the extreme 10 feet. Anything more to the east, we're probably looking, you know, more towards, say, Grand Isle and toward Lower Plaquemines. We're probably right now looking at 4 to 7. And again, those are on the higher numbers. Now, those numbers could change if we see a little bit of an adjustment toward the east or even toward the west. Even a little bit of a jog back toward the west is still not out of the realm of possibilities. One thing that has kind of confounded me and something that our anchors had pointed out was the fact that usually you kind of see a little bit more consensus with the spaghetti models, the all the various models. You tend to see them more tightly clustered this close to landfall, and there's still a decent little spread. So you still have kind of a spread from, on my computer here. You still have kind of a spread from the Marsh Island in Vermilion Bay to even, you know, almost not quite Grand Isle, lower Jefferson, not quite in the cone, but there is still a kind of wide area of where this center is going to go. Now, the impacts, that doesn't dramatically change the impacts that we're expecting, but it would impact certainly the areas that would see the heaviest of the rain and some of the strongest winds with this storm.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Man, I know you're busy, but I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to us about it. Because I know one thing, tomorrow it's going to be a pretty hectic day for you, bud. So get some rest.
You've still got tonight. Got early tomorrow to make some preps. After that, it's going to be one of those just stay at home, hang inside, wait this out until late Wednesday. And it's going to be a fast-moving storm. By Thursday
morning,
already in improving conditions.
That's a good part of it, that it is a fast mover. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, Mike.
Thank you. That was Chris Franklin from WWL Louisiana Channel 4 meteorologist, and we also have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line the president of St. Charles Parish, Matt Jewell. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Matt, because of what we've been through the last 10 days, probably what, 8 days we've had rain of the 10, would maybe the biggest concern for you be flooding if you get, because you can get caught under one of these squalls where you can get a lot of rain come down on you. And I live in Lafourche, so we're not that far away from one another in Lafourche and St. Charles Parish. And man, we've had it out of 10 days, 8 of it, or maybe even 9 of rain. Is that a major concern for you here, or maybe the biggest concern?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the biggest concerns, and look, there's a lot of good news in this latest forecast with the fact that it does not look like it's going to become a Category 2. It's picking up speed. It's moving fast. Those are all good things, especially when it's related to storm surge. All the storm surge modeling we're looking at is really not showing much for St. Charles Parish, which is a great thing. Although we are preparing for, you know, some tidal influence, our crews are down in Desalmans right now, you know, on the edge of St. Charles and Lafourche, and working to close in a few gaps along our little potato levee that we have down there. But when it comes to the amount of rain we have, obviously it limits the amount of absorption that you have from additional rains and creates more runoff. And two, it when that ground is soft and you get high winds, it does tend to allow trees to topple over a lot more. So, you know, that's a big concern for us, and the fact that can, you know, fall on power lines, fall across roadways, and cause other disruptions to utilities and other things like that. So.
Matt, also too, I know you've stressed this. I've talked to Archie Chassot about it from Lafourche, but a lot of times if you have stuff outside that could be a projectile, okay, you say, okay, well, the winds aren't that much, but you know, you have something flying around that's, you know, when wind gusts and or maybe a consistent wind of 55 to 60 miles an hour, it becomes a pretty deadly projectile at that particular stage and can do some damage. So for the people of St. Charles Parish and for everybody listening, kind of about maybe to pick things up around the house if the wind can take it and can make it somewhat dangerous.
Yeah, that's one of the first things we tell residents when they start their preparations is to pick up any loose items around your house. Not only can it become a projectile, it can end up in the drainage system. If you put a large garbage can in the ditch in your front yard, you've pretty much stopped it, the drainage for everybody on upstream of you. And it becomes a huge issue. I've pulled out many a trash can from a ditch after a rainstorm, you know, over the years. So we don't want loose objects flying around. We don't want them ending up in our canals. We don't want them ending up at our pump stations and maybe causing an issue. So we definitely ask people to do that. You know, trash service is suspended for tomorrow. So if tomorrow was your trash day, you just kind of have to bring it in, you know, bring it into the garage or strap it down near the house, keep it out of the wind and just, you know, hold on to it so we can hopefully resume that trash collection service, you know, either Thursday or Friday.
Matt, I think every parish president in South Louisiana gets this question asked, but especially this time of year when something like this happens, about drainage and the pumping system. How are things in St. Charles Parish for that?
Yeah, we're good. We have 56 pump stations throughout the parish of all different sizes. So from our smallest to our biggest, all of our pumps have been checked. All of our backup generators for our electric pumps have been checked. Everything's been fueled up and all systems running. All pumps are running. So we're good to go.
I know it might not be kind of equatable to this storm, but you guys have done a lot of levee work in that area. Like everybody in South Louisiana, if it's in Terrebonne, Lafourche, also in St. Charles, you guys have spent a lot of time, a lot of effort on building up those levees out in St. Charles.
Yeah, we're in the process of working with the Lafourche Basin Levee District on a levee lift to bring our 6-foot levee to 8-foot to 8-foot tall, you know, over in Sunset. We just finished up a $6 million bulkhead along Bayou des Almonds, an area that had a lot of infiltration from storm surge and wave action during Hurricane Ida. So we added 2 feet of extra protection there. And, you know, just over the last decade, we've spent probably $100 million, especially on the West Bank, to add pumping stations and levees throughout the parish to better protect our residents. And, you know, those systems have worked. We've seen the improvements from previous storms. They worked during Hurricane Ida, which was the worst storm that we've ever seen, the worst storm surge we ever had. So we know we're better protected than ever before, but we take each storm as a new case, and we prepare the same way.
Matt, I know you're like me, man. You've seen a few of them, and all of them have a different path. They're all a little different one way or another. They might be similar in some areas, but they write their own directional path and their own kind of destruction a certain way. And so I know you guys have done a lot of work there, and congratulations on that, because I know so many people in St. Charles have brought that up to me about all the work that's been done there. One last thing. Do you have anything to say to the people, the residents in St. Charles Parish, about what they should be prepared for and how to handle things?
Yeah, as you know, this is not our first rodeo, just like you were saying. Our residents know what they're doing. For those residents who have not done so, you got to get your house prepped today. Weather is going to decrease and deteriorate tomorrow pretty rapidly throughout the day. And, you know, for residents who may be in a mobile home or may not feel comfortable, their home may be substandard or in need of repair, we are opening a shelter of last resort at the Edward A. Dufresne Community Center in Luling. That's 274 Judge Edward Dufresne Parkway. That's going to open tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We ask residents to bring a pillow, to bring a blanket, to bring snacks and water. We're going to have cots there for you, but this is just a shelter of last resort. And if you can find another arrangement, that's probably the best thing to do. But we will have that option for those residents.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us. I know it won't be the last time we talking, or you'll be talking to somebody here with WWL. Appreciate your time and your efforts and everything you've done out in St. Charles Parish.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Matt Jewell, the president of St. Charles Parish. We'll be back to finish it up in hour number one of Sports Talk and also Weather Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk, Weather Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. I want to thank Chris Franklin for joining us along with Matt Jewell, the president of St. Charles Parish. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have on with us Stink himself. Mark Schlereff will join us at 5:20, and then we'll have on with us Tim Temple, the Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, at 5:35, and at 5:45, Keith Hinckley, the president of Plaquemines Parish, and at 6:35, Archie Chasson, president of Lafourche Parish. Jimmy, hang on to where you're at. I'll come to you right after the news break here, and we'll give you full coverage of Tropical Storm Francine, give you all the coverage and all the people that are involved in trying to protect everything and your property and people around here. So we'll give you that coverage right here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.